Markets are anxiously waiting to hear what the Fed chair has to say about the economy. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is making a big speech today. He's at an economic symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, hosted by the Kansas City Fed. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live here in Washington. And Nancy, this speech is getting a lot of attention. Why is Powell in the spotlight right now?
Because the economy is in the spotlight. We got some not-so-great economic news this week. The research firm IHS Market reported that new orders for U.S. manufacturers fell the most in 10 years. Export sales have dropped to the lowest level in a decade. U.S. Steel announced it's temporarily laying off up to 200 workers. And the Labor Department reported the U.S. economy added 500,000 fewer jobs in 2018 and earlier this year than previously reported.
So how can Powell counteract all of this bad news?
He has to try to project a calm message that won't upset the markets. He has to try to build consensus at the Fed. Minutes released earlier this week from last month's meeting where the Fed voted to cut interest rates show there was a fair amount of disagreement. Two regional Fed bank presidents actually dissented. They're now at Jackson Hole speaking out about why they disagreed with the cut.
Why specifically is the Fed divided over cutting interest rates?
Because its mandate is to keep unemployment low and inflation right around 2%. The dissenting members of the Fed say the economy doesn't need an interest rate cut. It's doing okay. Unemployment is near a 50-year low and consumers are still spending. We did find out last week, though, that consumer confidence is falling.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks. Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up almost 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 1 to almost 0.3% range, with Dow futures up 44 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 1.639%. Wage disparity in the U.S. is tenacious. To catch up with the median salary for a white man in 2018, black women had to work until yesterday, August 22nd, 2019. Marketplace's Ben Bradford has more on Equal Pay Day for black women.
61 cents on the dollar. Per census data, that's the median amount a black woman working full-time makes compared to a white man. And
this is something that is totally not new, and we've been looking at a wage gap for 50 years.
Jasmine Tucker at the National Women's Law Center.
The 61 cent number, you think, it's just a few pennies, like that's not a big deal. But this is actually almost $1 million over a 40-year career.
Historically, women have worked in lower paying occupations, especially black women. And women are more likely to drop out of the workforce for stretches to care for relatives or children. But Georgetown University economist Nicole Smith says even comparing similar jobs, education and experience,
the 61 cents looks a little bit better, but it's never, ever equivalent one to one with what a white man makes.
She says the gap begins as soon as women enter the workforce at lower salaries, and then tends to follow them throughout their careers. I'm Ben Bradford for Marketplace.
Victoria's Secret recently hired its first openly transgender model. This comes after a slew of bad press for the lingerie retailer, store closings due to poor sales, celebrities shying away from the annual fashion show, and the recent departure of the company's top marketing executive. But some say the move towards inclusivity comes too late for Victoria's Secret, given the company's less than stellar track record of representing diversity in race, gender, and size. Here to talk about diversity in the lingerie industry is Cora Harrington. She's founder of the blog The Lingerie Addict and author of the book In Intimate Detail. Cora, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me.
What changes are we seeing in the lingerie industry right now?
We're seeing that consumers want inclusivity at all levels. We've seen more models of color. We've seen more models with visible disabilities, more LGBTQ models. But we've also seen brands, even more mainstream brands like, say, Savage X Fenty, expand into larger band and larger cup sizes. And as someone who's been covering this industry for more than a decade, I think that's really exciting.
So talking specifically about Victoria's Secret, what do you think was behind their decision to hire a transgender model?
Well, I think it's important to know that this is the first out transgender model. And I think it's connected to Victoria's Secret's attempt to turn the conversation around. I do think it's too little too late. I do think public opinion has firmly turned against them. But I am very happy for the model they hired. And I think you can be happy for the individual model, but also still disappointed in the brand.
Traditionally, lingerie is a pretty gendered type of clothing. In your book, you use gender-neutral language. Why did you choose to do that?
I think it was very important to make all kinds of people, no matter their gender identity, no matter how they saw themselves, feel welcome to the world of lingerie. And I do think one very easy way to do that is to use gender-neutral language.
A big focus of your book is that lingerie should be accessible to everyone, but there's a whole chunk of the lingerie industry that's dedicated to shapewear, including things like corsets and waist cinchers and Spanx that are used to either hide some aspect of a person's body or change it altogether. So how do you mesh those two ideas?
I don't think we can talk about shapewear in isolation. We know that there's strong societal pressure for people to look a certain way. But from my perspective, it's not to tell people, oh, you shouldn't wear this. It's to help people make more informed decisions regarding their lingerie choices.
Based on what we've seen in the last couple of years in the lingerie industry, is there now a business case to be made for inclusivity?
I believe there is. I think we've seen that with brands like Playful Promises, Nubian Skin, Aerie, of course, which is, I think, the big brand that has done a lot with inclusivity as far as their PR and their marketing. I do think that because of consumers' voices, because there are some brands leading the way, that a lot of these companies are going to have to change because customers can now respond and tell you what they want to see.
Cora Harrington is a lingerie expert and founder of the blog The Lingerie Addict. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
And in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.